We're back.
She's back.
This is our third episode of Fueling Foodie. I can't believe it.
We've done three of these already. Well,
I feel like we're in a good rhythm, though.
We are.
I'm enjoying it. I'm quite enjoying sharing our knowledge and how good we are.
Podcast stars.
Superstars, actually. But I thought today we could just talk about my favourite topic.
I wonder what that is.
I haven't guessed, actually.
I've got no idea what your favourite topic is. Please enlighten us.
First one to guess it wins.
Can we do a drum roll? In case you missed that, Kate's favourite subject, email marketing.
Yeah. So I thought we could talk about email marketing that actually sells, because I think that's really important not just wasting time doing emails for the sake of it. Because when you're a small brand, a medium-sized business, you put resource into stuff that actually needs to be quantifiable. So today, I think we should talk about things like flows. I think we could talk about subject lines and just really open up the floor to how to do email, but really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess not the most exciting topic.
Is email the sexiest thing in the world?
Absolutely not. But I just think it's a good one to talk about. I think, like I say, when you're a small brand, it's essential and it needs to be essential in your digital marketing toolkit, and you need to be using it. If you're not, listen to this podcast and get to know how to do it.
You're in the right blooming place, aren't you?
So let's dive into email.
Let's go straight on in. Let's not waste any time.
Yeah, I think we should. Okay, so email is the highest channel for ROI in terms of digital marketing, and it's so underutilized for food and drink brands. Like, that's a fact. Not just food and drink, across the board, it is underutilized. Mm-hmm. And I know in previous episodes, we've spoken about social, spoken about influencers, but I really want to talk about email because I spoke about it at Building Brands and it is so powerful. And I think as a business, if you aren't using it, then you're seriously missing out on cash. You're seriously missing out on money left that's being left on the table. And it's really easy, right? So let's talk about how it's easy. So I'm going to start with flows, because flows are automations that can be set up that just continually trigger. So, you know, whilst you're asleep, somebody could be earning you money. I mean, who doesn't want that, right?
I mean,
that would
name
be a dream.
A better revenue stream than waking up to be like, oh, I've made this much money.
Ding, 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 sold.
Honestly.
Yes.
That'd be your alarm in the morning, wouldn't it? How much money you've made.
I need to invent a product.
I know.
Excuse me while I go off and start my own business.
I know. And
sorry.
Make sure it's food.
Yeah.
Make sure it's food.
Oh, goes without saying.
No, I know. Let's start with the most easiest flow, like the welcome flow. What is a welcome flow, Laura?
Testing. She's thrown me in right away. Welcome flow. I mean, it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It is the email you get when you sign up to something. You put in your data, you sign up when you see that pop-up, that very important pop-up on a website.
Oh, yeah.
Where it will say, sign up to get 10%. And you know what? We've all established we're all suckers for
up.
A discount.
Yeah.
If I have to sign up to get a discount, I am signing up. You can have all of my live details if I get a discount. I'm okay with it. But yeah, it's that first one. You sign up, you get that welcome flow. And it's as simple as that. And it is. It's like we've said, it's that easy to get everyone invested in it that you're an idiot if you don't have it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we are talking about food and drink, but even if you're in the B2B world, you still have a welcome flow.
Oh my God, yeah.
Always think about how you're, you know, immersing people into your brand.
It's that introduction, isn't it?
I feel like it makes you instantly feel like you're part of the community of that brand.
So true.
Like you've almost got like a welcome into an exclusive little group.
You've literally been invited into their little private membership area, haven't you?
I know. And again, I see brands all the time like, oh, we'll just do a pop-up that says, thanks for signing up, sign up to our newsletters. And I'm like, that just doesn't work anymore. People want value. Like they only give your data if they're going to get value back, because it's a privilege now to give your data away. Like, it's not pre-COVID time. I think people just gave away their data like willy-nilly.
And
it's just...
look at me. I'm still like 10% up, okay.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You're getting value from it. It's not just a sign up to our newsletter. Like,
because
what am I
don't
gonna
want
get
junk.
From your newsletter?
You don't want junk. No. You want value or discount.
Yeah.
I would say they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Promos and like new product.
Oh my God, if I get to know something's coming to the market first, I am in.
And I feel like socials are so busy nowadays,
you get lost with a lot of that type of stuff.
I feel like it's really important to value how you can launch things and buy things in email.
And I think as well with your email welcome flow, it's a point where your socials can link in with your emails as well. You can show people your Instagram, follow us on Instagram, immerse them into the brand story. And I think, especially in food and drink, right, you have a welcome flow to make and generate revenue.
Yeah.
No other reason. Yes, it's to nurture. Yes, it's to be fluffy, in inverted commas. But it's all about making revenue. So you need to make sure that you have those conditional splits of, if somebody purchases once, they leave that flow.
Yeah.
Or if somebody purchases once, I do not mention the discount again. Mm-hmm. And they're those really important parameters, because I see, again, brands do it all the time. They put them in a one email welcome flow. Well, then where do they go? Do they get the newsletters? Well, that's fine, but they're
not
actually
immersed.
And
then that's when I feel like it turns to junk.
Yeah.
Because
that's when
you don't feel like you're actually getting value from it.
Which is really important. And email is there to give value. It's mm-hmm. at the point of, how can you, you know, I've got a client and a brand who I think are nearly 100 years old, right? And they weren't even mentioning that in their welcome flow. And I was like, you need to be talking about that. Like, talk about your granddad, your grandpa, whoever set the business up. People want to feel that feeling. And I think as well with marketing, it's really easy to forget when you're a brand that you're still a person. And it's really important that those people and those personalities and those opinions as a brand still come across, because people buy from people. It's as simple as. So welcome flow.
Welcome flow, tick.
Set it up. One email, start with, look at the data. And then as the data progresses, get
more.
What's
next?
Yeah.
What's step two in my flows?
So, okay. Then you can get a bit more complex with mm-hmm. your emails. So this is where you think about unengaged customers. So Phoebe, she comes in, she gets her 10% off.
And she's gone.
And then she's gone. See, and she lays dormant in our
brand.
What's
going to get me back?
Yeah. We don't see her. We don't see her on our website. So she's not been active. She hasn't opened email. She hasn't clicked an email.
Do I not like the products?
So what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where we would then look at what we would call a win back campaign. So that's how we can get that person, i.e. a Phoebe, who's just a discount hogger, back into our business. Now, we might lose Phoebe. Phoebe might have just been a one-time purchase.
She's gone to get another discount somewhere else.
Yeah. But how can we get her back in the business? And win back flows are all about winning those customers back. So 9 times out of 10, discount, start with it.
Phoebe's in.
Or if your brand isn't of that tone and it isn't, you know, the tone of voice doesn't quite sit with a discount, be real. Like, ask them what, you know, you could survey them at this point.
Even in email, sometimes you just get like a, not a we missed you, but you get almost like a guilt trip.
Yeah.
So like, if you're not wanting to like physically, you know, offer discounts and things, there's a sense of emotion that you can evoke in an email, which can often win people back through that way.
Yeah. Like I've just been doing, I've had the best week this week. I've been doing some email automations for a client.
You've been having too much fun with them.
Who I can't name.
She's been having... You've not seen some of the puns she's come out with. She's
so
proud
of
herself.
And the puns on this wording, because they're not...
I thought cheese puns bad enough.
No, these are way better.
These are so much worse.
Free
but
mine.
The thing is, right, they don't associate themselves with discounts. So how can you market, but market in a really clever way that's emotive, it's personal, and it's talking to your customer. And I'm not saying puns is the answer to that, but it's thinking
make
about,
everything a joke.
Yeah. It's don't thinking about how you can align your brand with your customers. So they don't offer discounts in their win back flow. We've gone softer with that approach. We've created a survey. We then might give them another 30, 90 days, whatever that is. And then we might, at that last point, give them a final discount. And then at the end of that win back flow, you cleanse the data. Like, are they still unengaged? If they are, get rid of them. Because again, that's something I see all the time. Like, people don't cleanse their database, which means your price per month that you're paying for your email subscriber and your email subscription
is just falling,
is rising up. And then you aren't actually talking to them. They're not engaged.
To be fair, I very, very rarely get emails that are the brands themselves unsubscribing me from.
Yeah.
Even though I don't engage with them all that often.
Every so rarely I get that. And I'm like, thank God I forgot about you.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it's not done enough, I feel.
No, absolutely not. So welcome, win back, like two really important ones.
100%.
And then ones that you guys know really well about, abandoned cart.
Oh, my fave.
Great one, right? Yeah. So you leave. So talk to me, Phoebs, about an abandoned cart. You are
more
a pro
discounts. I think the value of them lies in the fact that I'm someone that gets really distracted. So I walk away from things. I'm not necessarily leaving them on purpose.
Yeah.
But I just don't really... I get sidetracked. I get busy. I'm going to do other things.
She's scrolling TikTok.
And yes. I've got 5 bags of popcorn in my cart that I haven't checked out. But later on that day, if I'm getting an email reminding me, it does actually prompt me to go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a discount. Not going to complain. But it's the whole idea that I'm then re-reminded, which I actually think is really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So under the hood of that then, from a brand perspective, because mm-hmm. Phoebe's talking about a consumer perspective, your abandoned cart flow should be made up of 2 email sends. It should be purely that first email reminding your customer that they've left their basket.
I think it's also then really personalised, isn't it?
Really personalised. You can pull in that basket as well, which is really helpful, especially if people just forget. And then email 2 is where you then offer that discount. Now, you could put a time frame in that. You could do like a 72-hour window.
I think that works as well so 100%. Well. Because I'll be like, oh yeah, no, I need to buy that now.
Yeah, I've even had it recently where there's been stuff that I've like been looking in the mornings before I start work, forgotten about it. And then you get back the next day or in the evening or something and you've got it sat there.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because they've...
Whereas I'm such a direct buyer. If I'm buying there and then I'm checked.
I feel like I'm too like... Not money cautious, but I'm just like...
Money cautious, but loves to buy.
Yeah, like there's like
I
a
bet
resistance.
You buy more than I buy. I just buy like one thing like...
Oh, no, if I'm buying something online,
you're a hauler. I'm a sucker for free delivery.
Oh, free delivery.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole another one.
I was going to say, so that's a really good point to make. If you're a brand that doesn't want to offer discounts, could you use your delivery?
So... important. If I have to pay like $4.95 for a delivery, if I'm already spending £50.
Yeah, if you spend, like I go over the threshold time because I just over
to shop.
Yeah, over consume.
Because there's something just there self-aware. That I will benefit from.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? When you work in marketing, you actually like...
become really self-aware of the marketing things you fall into and you're like, God, I'm that consumer.
Yeah.
Which goes really well into the next one, which I think, and drop the mic,
ooh,
calling it, browse abandon flow, mm-hmm. abandoned cart flow, is one of the most underused flows, but one of the best revenue generating flows.
I think we've established it's definitely the best from out of this room. We love a browse. Love an abandoned cart email.
So that's people landing on a website, browsing a product, and then you pick them up.
I also think it comes down to like, if I'm often doing it on my phone, but if I'm on my laptop, I could be searching up other things at the same time.
Yeah.
Like if I'm shopping round.
I think it falls into the fact
which
as
is
well.
Also, I think, the importance, because if you're looking at like a competitor
and
you've got both your baskets full, who's going to send you that email?
It falls into as well people being more aware of what they're consuming and what they're purchasing. Now people are a lot more kind of
cautious.
They
are more aware.
People are so much more aware, and I'm going to be more considered with my purchase. So I might check it out on this website and I might look on Amazon and I might look here.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I'd rather buy it directly from the brand because they're going to see more kind of joy from it in theory.
Yeah.
Like it's more personal if I'm buying it from the brand. And it's helping me make that considered purchase because they're just reminding me, hey, look. And then I'm going to go, oh, actually, they reached out. They sent me that email. Maybe I'll go back to them.
Yeah.
It's helping me make that considered purchase.
But it's personal. That's why it works.
Personal.
So what we see in food and drink is actually the flows that work really well from a revenue generating perspective in food and drink marketing is your welcome flow, number one,
100%.
People love a discount, Phoebe, and your browse abandonment because it's personalized, it's relevant, it's timely, and it's capturing people when they think that you're not going to capture them. So...
ooh. Flows are pretty important.
Absolutely.
I think we've established email marketing's really powerful.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I do try and tell you on a daily basis how powerful it is.
She's finally convinced us. I mean, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phoebe's I'm still going to play victim. TikTok.
Oh, she is.
But I think as well, like, flows, you can get lost in them. Mm-hmm. You can totally get lost in them. I get lost in them on a weekly basis. I still love getting lost in them. But the power of flows and the power of doing it properly is testing, learning and optimizing, right? Don't just do something once, like do it, test the subject line, test the, you know, the creative. Phoebe's, could we make a better header, for example? I ask you that all the time. Like, can we change things up?
I think it's important because it's the first thing someone sees.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. So constantly tweaking, testing, learning. And then the gold is, and the magic happens is when you optimize it, like use the data. I'm going to keep saying that. Use what you learn to make it better. Don't just leave it. But the power of automation and flows is You set it up. You set it up once. Yes, you tweak and optimize, but you never have to do it again. So your customers are getting all of these relevant touch points in their customer journey because of automation. Like, it's mad. It's like magic.
Magic. There's also a massive elephant in the room when it comes down to writing your emails and the use of ChatGPT.
Oh, that's a conversation like
that's
for another
very,
day.
Yeah, very, I think, big topic.
I think let's save ChatGPT for a whole other day. That's a whole episode in itself.
I think that would be a whole month.
That's a whole episode in itself.
Yeah. And again, without going into too much detail on that, right? ChatGPT is absolutely insane. AI is the future.
Other AI platforms are available.
Yeah.
AI is not sponsored or endorsed.
It's amazing. But the key to that as well is
personalization.
Be personal. Yeah. Like, be a real person when you're talking. You know, if you are, we're going to use popcorn all the time because we love our popcorn client, right? But if you are a popcorn buyer, you want people to talk to you. You want people to personally, in an email, address you. Hi, Kate. We know that you've bought this. We know that you might like this. Like you're in a shop. Laura, you're from retail, right? If you're in a shop in front of someone, you are personal to their experience.
100%.
Online should be the same.
100%.
I feel like with the rise of online shopping as well, because it's become like the main place that people
shop. High street stores are just going and going. So people are going to shop online so much more.
Yeah.
And without going off on a tangent, I was watching Dragon's Den last night.
She loves it.
Love Dragon's Den. And there was a brand on there that we've worked with before through an activation we did with Buy Women Built and Whole Foods. Name dropping Buy Women Built. Absolutely amazing. If you've not checked them out, go and check them. And there was a brand on there and she was predominantly supplying supermarkets, right? So she was going into Ocado, Whole Foods, all of those massive, massive supermarket chains. She was going just into Morrison's, et cetera, et cetera. And it was really interesting because she did not sell through her own website.
Oh my God.
So she was giving all of her profit to the distributor, to Ocado, to, you know, all of these different people in the mix. And I was sat in front of the telly and I was like, oh my goodness, where's your website? Where's your
that's
email?
Painful.
And I think that's what's really important to note. Like, your website is your hub for you to sell your product, but it's your hub for you to
it's
not
like
lose profit.
It's like a one-stop shop.
It's
your home. It's just like,
yeah.
It's literally your little home.
But then on the flip side of that, I met a prospect client this week, spoke to them on the phone, and he said to me, we're not launching a website. And I was like, drop the mic. Sorry.
Bold.
He's like,
he knows what he's doing. Like,
we're going to do an activation campaign and we're going to sell solely through Amazon. And I was, I almost like facepalmed. I was like, whoa, like, let's just go back a step. You're not having a website.
Holy smoke.
So he's going to pay like for an Amazon agency and just solely sell on Amazon, lose half of his profit and
budget.
Was
there a decent justification?
No.
No.
I was just like, I'm not sure that this is going to work. And I think we need to talk about it properly. And that was huge, right? Because, you know, as all these new platforms come up and the older marketing platforms like email, and I'm not saying it's old, but it's been around for a really long time, they almost get forgotten.
Yeah.
And just because they get forgotten, they are so important, if not more important.
100%. They've stuck around for a reason.
Go back to those foundations of, okay, I have a product, I need to sell it. How do I grow that? And I think the number one thing to remember with email is you own your audience.
100%.
Like, I don't own my followers.
Yep.
I don't
own... They could go. If anyone learned anything from TikTok disappearing for 24 hours in America...
So you don't own your followers, right? But you own your database. That's the only thing in marketing that you can own right now. Mm-hmm. You don't own an algorithm. You don't own your followers. You don't, and you're at the mercy of everybody all the time. Email, you own it.
I think
so. Why wouldn't you want to grow
it? It's old as well. It's what I would say now is like the modern day direct mail, because I've worked in normal, not digital marketing. I've worked in just marketing, and direct mail. And it's, does that work? Does it work with the older generation, younger generation? I'm more likely to open an email than I am a letter through my door.
Yeah.
And that's just the way
the
life is.
Through my
now.
Door, just.
If it's just like, if it is a direct mail from a company, am I going to look at it?
Yeah.
Probably not. Am I going to open an email? Probably, because it's on my phone.
Is my mum going to open a direct mail still? Of course she is.
Exactly. That is the difference.
Yeah. So I think it's just important, isn't it, to just remember, like, set the foundations with your marketing. Use those channels that we know have worked over years and years and years and years.
And I feel like there's so much proof as well with the big brands that are doing it.
Huge.
Because they're
proof
still
the
doing
pudding.
It all the time and there is a reason.
I was going to say, if they'd stopped, we might have to question it. But
I know.
Yeah. They're still doing it.
For me as well, like if I think about when I started my career, I started out in MailChimp, right? Everybody knows MailChimp.
Everyone knows it.
They use it. They love it. It's a great platform. And I used to live and breathe MailChimp. Loved it. Like the yellow, the monkey.
That little monkey. Yeah.
And then they started doing those ads on TV. And
oh my God,
like,
everyone knows MailChimp.
Yeah, amazing. And then I think as like the e-commerce world's grown, as food and drinks progressed, as like, you know, it's buzzed and Shopify has become more powerful, Klaviyo was born, right? I think I must say the word Klaviyo more than I say my husband's name. Like, that's
savage.
Let's maybe not tell him that.
Hopefully he's not listening.
No, I know. But it is now the integration between Shopify and Klaviyo, the way they talk, the information that you can get, the insights. Like, it's creepy. It's so creepy. I can see who's been on my website, what they've opened, what they've clicked, what
I will
they've purchased.
Say, when my boyfriend saw me looking on Klaviyo and I was like, oh yeah, I can see this. He was like, they can see that. I was like, oh my God, you sit down. Let me give you a lesson.
Yeah. Like, it's so powerful.
It's amazing what is behind there.
Like, and the information that you can pass between the two platforms, like it's an API integration. It's already automated. It's a plugin. It's a play, especially if you use Shopify. Great. If you don't, you need to get on Shopify. But it is the most powerful email platform, like without a shadow of a doubt. It's easy. If you're a small to medium sized business, you're managing your email on your own. You can manage it yourself. It's a drag and drop platform. The difficulty and complexity and power of it comes when you get into the data. I'm going to keep talking
so
about
much
the
of
data.
It. But I'll say, like, Klaviyo is kind of idiot proof to set up the basics, because as we have established in episode one, I hated email, did not want to learn about it. Never thought. And even you're the same. You were like, email marketing, no, I'm all right, thanks, Kate. And then suddenly we're both in Klaviyo and every month I'm pulling reports. And I'm like, oh, actually, let me just log in and I can see who's opened this email. Let me pull that data.
I feel like such
a I like just being nosy.
It is. It's so, but you can learn so much from it. And it's like, oh my God, that's how I've really learned how powerful email is. When I see how much revenue someone can make from one singular email, I'm like, what? That's doesn't make sense to me.
And I think it's that shift. And again, we said this in episode one, right? It's the shift of understanding the platform. Like,
100%.
Clients come to us, we need help with our socials. If you shift that understanding and you say socials aren't going to make you any more money, like, email will, and actually you focus on email and then you make them 5, 10, 20, 50K extra, they'll be like, oh my God, why am I not doing this? Like, again, some clients come to me, they have no email database. Others come to me and they're like, oh yeah, we've got 30,000, but we're not doing anything
with
it.
They're just there.
And I'm like, oh, stop. Like, why are you not doing anything
with it? How to make paint cry.
Yeah. My face, like, literally must paint a picture because I'm like, you're not doing anything with 30,000 people. Like, sorry, what?
I can say,
but
I've witnessed this on
calls. Literally burning money.
I
but
can
then
see
they
this.
Have ads on. So they're feeding top of funnel and they've already got 30,000. Like, sorry.
They're just missing that moneymaker.
Really missing it. So if my one piece of advice to any brand in the food and drink space, do
email marketing. Everybody together now.
Do email marketing, but do email automations as well. Like, don't
100%.
Just send a newsletter.
Don't just send one blanket email.
Yeah.
Look after your little community.
Yeah, look after them. No,
look it's after not you. A one and done. It's
no,
not one and
don't
done.
Be a Phoebe, because not everybody is a Phoebe. And just think about
I'm
how
not
you
the
can
prime consumer.
Yeah. No. Unless you're in a Gen Z market and
exactly,
she's your target.
Exactly, actually. Very hang true. On a minute.
Very yeah, true. It all depends about your audience. Always goes back to who your audience
100%.
Is. And tools like Klaviyo, Google Analytics, they will tell you who your audience is. So read it, look at the data.
There's that word again.
Data never lies.
Data never lies. Okay, so how to grow your list? Massive challenge. Mm-hmm. How do you grow your email list, right? So ads, first off.
Easy, yeah.
More traffic to your website, great. But then most clients say to me, like, okay, so great, I've got more traffic. How do I get them in my email list with consent? Mm-hmm. Really important that you have consent. So grow it. Think about your audience. What are their pain points? Food and drink. They want a Phoebe with a discount.
I was going to say discount. You need an incentive.
Need an incentive to sign up, give them their details. So think about 10% off, 15% off, free delivery.
I've got one.
Go
got on. A good one. As someone who loves social media.
Go on.
A social media and email collab giveaway.
Yay!
We love them. They're so, so powerful because we all know people love a freebie.
Yeah.
And I feel like people don't really feel like it's as direct that they're signing up to something.
You're literally,
that way
you
either.
Want my email and I could be in with a chance to win a hamper
Take
of about
£100. What do you mean by that, Laura?
Oh, okay. So literally, we all love a social media giveaway. It'll be like, share, tag a friend. But actually, just switch it up. Everyone does that. They're a bit boring now.
Yeah.
Well, why not benefit from it a little bit more? Okay, you could grow your followers, but also could you grow your email database? So the giveaway will be sign up to our newsletter or sign up to the link in our bio and you could win a hamper of £100 worth of food goodies.
I swear we've seen email giveaways of like thousands.
Thousands.
The biggest one I've ever done, I think the data off the back of it was like 9,000 entries. And I had to sift through the 9,000 entries.
It's a big old winner. You're like, oh my God.
But that's proof in the pudding, right? It works.
Without a doubt. Then you've got 9,000 people.
And you're
people.
Also then, if you're doing a collaborative one, you're sharing the database.
Oh, obviously I'm so proud of you. You love email.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, work with work with a partner brand, like a brand whose audience is the same as yours, align with them. Always make sure their database is bigger than yours before you do it. Like, ask that question. You can ask that question. Hey, I'd love to do a giveaway with you. Have
it's all genuine,
database.
Isn't it? I feel
and you're also helping each other out, aren't
it's
you?
It's a benefit.
For free.
Exactly.
Ways. Minus product.
Minus product, but then
whatever.
That's the only cost of it.
The only thing is just make sure you've got the mechanics set up, landing pages, posts, all of those things. But it's a really good way to grey list. Like, it's
so,
free.
So easy as well.
Other ways to grey list. So paid ads, you can grey list. You could do like a lead capture form on an ad. You could do a discount. You could, and this is something that we do, if you have your welcome flow set up, you could put an ad on that says get 10% off, push people to the welcome flow pop-up, which sits on your homepage, and then funnel them through. And I love a funnel. I'm a sucker for a funnel. Like if you're in the B2B world or your D2C, B2C, food and drink, use funnels, right? Don't just do a one-stop shop. Get them in that funnel, like push them further down, nurture them, love them, say hello to them, ring them, whatever it is, like just be real with them. I think those are the two top ways. Ads, lead magnets, which is your pop-up or a competition. Absolutely great ways of growing your list.
And so simple.
So simple, so quick as well.
So how are you doing it?
I know. We are people not doing it. And then I guess the other things to talk about are like hot takes from email, right? So if someone would say to me, Kate, I've got Klaviyo, I've set up my flows, these things aren't quite working, what would you look at? I'd be like, right, so I'll audit all your campaigns. I'll look at your subject lines. I'll look at your creatives. Timings, really, really key. Like you can test timings as well, which is really important. Like, does Phoebe shop in the evening? Do I just want to
or
send
her?
Or
am I waking up to a full
she
inbox?
She is a pre-work shopper.
But that's also what annoys me is, you know, when you've got all of them at once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think you can learn that, right?
But then I'm not on my phone at 12 o'clock. I'm not on my phone at 1 o'clock. Like I'm...
Yeah.
I'm more likely to think about where your audience, work.
Yeah, where your audience is and what they're doing. Like,
see, whereas I'm the other way. I start the day, I clear all my emails out my inbox, and then after work... I switch off.
That's why you got to test it, because you could have a Kate
different.
And you could have a Phoebe and Laura.
So important.
Sat on two opposite sides of the room. It's like we're fighting different audiences here.
We are
but
one.
That's the key, right? Because you could have in your audience a Phoebe, a Kate and a Laura.
Yeah.
So how do you target your automations, your news? Exactly that, right? Exactly that.
My God, am I sat next to two Kates?
Who am I?
So, and again, like a platform like Klaviyo, it uses AI and it can use AI to pull in dynamic feeds. So like dynamic product feeds, it can see Phoebe's browsed this product, she's purchased this product.
I love how
twice.
I'm just the example of all of these.
Because you're
now.
A cereal shopper, right?
You do love
But the power of AI is becoming more and more, like ChatGPT isn't the only one, like all of these platforms are pulling AI in. And I think it's important to just use it. Like don't push it away.
Don't be scared of it.
Yeah, definitely use it.
I think it needs to be used right.
100%.
But
yeah, 100%. And again, like within a platform like Klaviyo, you can show certain content to certain people. And oh my God, I could talk about it forever because it just makes me so excited. Like it is one of the most powerful platforms if used properly. Mm-hmm. So my advice is if you aren't doing email, go and do it. Mm-hmm. Set up Klaviyo, set up a welcome flow, send some newsletters. See what the data is telling you. When it tells you that your open rate's rubbish, why is it rubbish? Look at it. How can you make it better? How can you keep building on it? And even if you set aside like half an hour every day to look into the data, do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. That is all you need to do. Just do it.
Simple.
I know.
I think someone stole that slogan already.
I was going to say, are we allowed to say
Nike?
That? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a big brand.
I think it might be a big one.
Anyway, we've got a court case on our hands.
I know.
They nailed it. They weren't wrong.
No, I know. Anyway, I think that like...
I think we might have summed up email marketing.
I think we have.
Just do it.
Like, I just talk about it all the time, right? And I do talks about it because it's just, it's so powerful. But the key is start. If you haven't started, just start. If you've already started, are you constantly optimizing what you're doing? If you're not, get on with it. Mm.
Just get on with it.
It's as simple as that, right?
Yeah. Smashed it.
Smashed it.
So I think you have sold both of us on email marketing. Excuse me. So. Socials is now out the window. I'm now going to do
my
email
job.
Marketing. So I don't know about everyone else.
I'm
but,
back to TikTok.
Damn it. One more episode, I'm sure.
And I'm staying in my lane on it now. Still super powerful.
Well, I will sell you on socials.
Full service agency though.
Yeah, see, we've all got our passions.
Yeah.
I think that just sums us up, really. So, yeah, I think that's a good place to rein it in.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And let's save it for the next episode of, oh, what do you want it to be?
Yeah.
What it will
is
it be
about? Is
there
anything that we've spoken about that we need to speak more about?
Oh, yeah.
God, don't tell us
we
to
will
speak
talk.
More. Don't
and I really hope more. We've not triggered any, like, warnings of, oh, no, what if they said, ding, ding, ding?
Imagine like, everyone's like, oh, my God, am I doing everything wrong?
Yeah.
No, you're not. No,
oh, my God, do
not.
I need to give Phoebe 40% off?
Yes. Only if Laura gets it too. But yeah, I think that sums everything up. Obviously, we've loved this episode.
I've personally loved it.
Kate's loved this episode. Kate has loved this episode. I'm not being paid to say that I've loved it, but it was good. So yeah, like, subscribe, rate, and give us a little review of what you thought. Obviously,
yeah.
That we're three episodes deep now. We're
on a roll.
We're pros at this. You can't actually shut us up at this point.
Okay.
So, but yeah, let us know what you want to hear next. And we'll see you in the next episode.